You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town. So OBM can tackle any of your copier problems, and you'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns. Visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Jurevicius in the dog. We'll talk Buckeyes in the opening segment. We're going to take a few calls here while we've got them. We can talk anything. College football, NFL football playoffs, the Browns, whatever you want. 216-578-0850. Damian in New Jersey, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man. Damian, how you doing?
Matt, congratulations.
Thank you, bro.
Hey, you guys are great. I love listening to your show.
Thanks.
Hey, I want to know what you guys think about this this guy for a quarterback. Big guy, mobile, Tim Tebow. What do you think about him?
To be the Browns quarterback?
For a Browns quarterback, yeah.
I think that it's
negatory.
This point, it's just been, I think, established that, and I like Tim Tebow. He won a playoff game. Pretty sure he's the last Heisman quarterback to win a playoff game, if I'm not mistaken. The league, if anybody could have figured out a way to utilize Tim Tebow as a weapon, as an asset, Bill Belichick would have done it in New England. That's my take on it. Every team in the league that needs a quarterback has passed on him. I don't think he can throw the ball effectively.
I think that
ship's just sailed. I think he's moved on. He did a good job, I thought, as a television analyst. Thought he did a good job for the SEC over the weekend.
That guy is known for life just off his name and what he's
done
in college. There's no question. But I think the reason Johnny is not the answer here in Cleveland and has not been the answer anywhere else in the NFL for that matter, I don't think his arm is very good. I mean, I watch the guys throw, and, you know, coaches at this level, when you have scouts and coaches, they're looking at mechanics. And when you watch this guy wind up and throw,
throw it in the ground.
They used to come down really hard on Kerry Collins because Kerry, right before he would launch the ball, would open his palm up.
Like a little flick.
And they didn't like his release. And here the guy is throwing for, you know, he's top 10 in terms of career passing yards and all that.
Which is amazing when you think about the era that Kerry Collins played in. He does not get a lot of credit for productive as he was.
I mean, and that guy was he was successful everywhere he went. I mean, played 16 years in the National Football League, got all kinds of records, took New York Giants to a Super Bowl. So, you know, they get very, very meticulous. And I think one of the big reasons that Tim Tebow is not in the National Football League anymore is because his throwing mechanics don't really satisfy a lot of the people
out
there.
And it's accuracy. You got
to
be accurate.
And I think also, too, just from the quarterback position standpoint, is a defense's goal is to get that quarterback off the spot or affect that quarterback somehow, some way. And I think, you know, both Johnny Manziel and Tim Tebow, they were sold in a lot of cases in that pre-draft setting about how much work they had done to eradicate some of the issues with their mechanics. And their pro days, they look good. And at the combine, they look good. And maybe in some mini camps, but when those bullets started flying and the adversity happens in front of them, when they're, you know, when the defensive protection or offensive protection breaks down, they drop that elbow, they drop whatever that tendency is that they've been raised on.
They go right back to it,
and that is not something that can survive in the National Football League, which is why we see guys like Peyton Manning be so meticulous with his preparation, so it becomes second nature,
right,
you know, over the course of time.
Yeah, because just what you said right there, Matt, I mean, that's the reason I think that a lot of the teams would prefer the Andrew Lucks, the Peyton Mannings, and the Tom Brady's, and not for the obvious reasons. I'm just talking about the size, the stature, a guy that can go down there, has good throwing mechanics, and can deliver a ball consistently time in and time out.
Let's just look at the 8 quarterbacks that are left playing in the NFL, okay? The 8 guys that are left in the NFL, you've got right now in the AFC, your 8 quarterbacks are Joe Flacco, won
Super
a Super Bowl.
Bowl,
pocket passer. Tom Brady,
Super Bowl,
pocket passer.
I never heard of that guy.
Andrew Luck, mobile, but he's not a running quarterback. He's a cerebral pocket passer who can pick you apart. Underrated athlete, but still a pocket passer. Peyton Manning, total prototypical pocket passer, Super Bowl champion. In the NFC, you've got Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl champion, a pocket passer, but has some mobility, probably
sure.
The best overall quarterback in the NFL today. Tony Romo, as you said, we're talking about earlier, still wins with his mind, is a pocket passer. Does he have great escapability? Yes, but he's not a running quarterback per se.
Right.
Then you've got the one game that has two guys that might be as much runners as they are passers, but I would argue Russell Wilson is still a pocket passer who happens to have good mobility and utilizes that and takes advantage of things in his scheme. Cam Newton, probably the one guy that's not a great pure pocket passer that's left out of the eight quarterbacks that are left. And I think that that's the league. You look at Colin Kaepernick and Tim Tebow, to go back to that Tim Tebow point, Colin Kaepernick came up that first year and they had the read option, and teams in the NFL were not ready for the read option. They just were not. And he was able to run wild on, did that great
Green
playoff
Bay.
Game against Green Bay.
Yep.
As time went on, that was taken away. Still an effective runner, uses mobility, but now he's a more effective runner as a passer on him, a drop back, than as a designed runner. And you saw him struggle when he had to be just a pure pocket passer. You've got to be able to be a pocket passer to win in the NFL. And I think we had that little bit of a burst where those running quarterbacks seemed like the weapons. And now I think it's already trending back immediately to the pocket passers.
Now you know exactly what coaches do in the offseason. When you get burned by the read option, these guys come in here, they start 2 weeks after the season, they start breaking down film and doing that self-analyzation, and they realize, all right, we got to figure a way to stop this. But if you ask me, and we'll take this into the Browns situation right now, any one of those guys I would take, no question.
I was
asked.
Just going to say that if an illustration, without question, doesn't matter what you do anywhere else, if you don't have the quarterback, you're not going to be good in the NFL.
Right.
So, you're correct.
Right. And I let me just say this, that I want a pocket quarterback because I think that's what's going to win consistently in the National Football League, at least for an organization for a long time, not just a year or two because it's a fad. It's shown that when you find the right quarterback – and you kind of teach him, and he takes it upon himself to teach himself and learn as much as he can from his coaching and from the film work, I think that's ultimately what sets these organizations apart.
I think you win with two things in the NFL at the quarterback position. This is just my belief. You win with your mind. You've got to be able to come up, read defenses, make smart decisions, make the right adjustments, make the right checks at the line, and you've got to be accurate in the intermediate game. I don't think that I wouldn't call Peyton Manning right now one of the best deep ball throwers in the NFL. Drew Brees is not one of the best. When you have it all, like Aaron Rodgers, that's when you're completely unbelievable and you're the best quarterback in the NFL. But if you can be accurate enough in the intermediate game, you're going to be accurate in the short game. You're going to hit the occasional deep ball because defenses are going to suck in on you. But you are going to win with your mind more than anything, and you win with your mind pre-snap and post-snap from the pocket.
You're right. And I think the one key factor also, too, with these remaining teams that are left in the playoffs is – all these guys have been in the same system or very similar system. And in some cases, if there is turnover at offensive coordinator or quarterback coach, whatever it might be, or at head coach, they adapt a system to the success of that quarterback being a pocket passer, and they play everything to their strengths. You know, even Cam. You know, Cam, they give him some designed runs. You know, Cam likes to be able to move out of the pocket. But in my eyes, you look at Brady and Peyton Manning are the only two that are probably the two worst athletes out of the eight remaining. You know, even Flacco will take off and get you 6-7 yards every now and then, you know. But so that is something that needs to get fixed. That is something that we will hopefully identify in free agency or through the draft. Hopefully it's not through the draft, because I think there's enough holes in this football team that we need to get them fixed otherwise.
I really think you're going to see, though, a trend away from athletes as quarterbacks to more you want the guy that can win. And that's why Teddy Bridgewater translated to my vision of the NFL more effectively than any rookie quarterback, because he was already making those checks in college. He understood mentally what to do and was able to deliver the football accurately on all levels of the field. And that was, to me, why I thought he was head and shoulders. Now, listen, I'm just me. He was the 32nd pick of the draft, so 31 teams felt like they didn't need a Teddy Bridgewater on their team. But I think you saw how quickly his transition went, and that is really the key. And I think you're seeing a shift back in the quarterbacks. And if that group of eight that we just talked about doesn't say to you more than ever, it's all about the quarterback in the NFL, then you're not going to get it.
Right.
Like, you're just not going to get that message.
So basically we're saying we need a guy that wears high tops, spats his high tops. He's got two knee braces on and an elbow brace, as long as it's not on the throwing arm, that we'll take him.
We'll take him.
That's
yes.
what we
that's
need.
What
we just
got.
Need
yeah.
a slow as molasses quarterback to get in there and launch the ball.
You need somebody that can decipher a defense, make good decisions, and deliver the football accurately.
Let me just say this, too. You know, what you said about the intermediate throwing game is that's so overlooked. You look at what kills teams. It's when you're not able to hit those third and six and be able to deliver a
right.
slant pattern, when you're not able to check down and you throw a ball over the guy's head or you throw it at his feet, but you can throw a long ball. I mean, it's amazing that you can throw a ball 60 yards in the air and hit the guy right in stride. But then when you've got a guy standing 10 yards from you and you try to hit the guy in the numbers, I mean, you hit his ankle or you
break. You're exactly right. But then also, too, is the one other factor is not only do you have to be able to make those throws, but the great quarterbacks in this league know exactly the coverage that they're in and the defense is in third and six. And also, too, more so than that is they know the tendency of the defenders and where they're going to be so that you can run a route and create that situation to, you know, to not have to throw into a tight window. But even if you do, you have the arm strength to deliver that ball accurately to your playmaker, i.e. Rob Gronkowski, Randall Cobb, guys who like to and have to work across the middle.
And in the NFL, I consider accuracy not only hitting a guy who's open through a tight window, it's the ability to throw the ball in the one spot that actually throws them open when they're covered.
Well, it's like Romo yesterday on his touchdown pass in the back of the end zone. I mean, it was a tight throw. He scrambled and he was throwing on the run and he goes back there, and whether he was throwing that to Dez or Williams, it really didn't matter.
No, I mean, Dez wanted that ball.
Yes, he did.
Dez, for a split second, if you watch him, he didn't even celebrate. He was kind of like, just pissed off about the whole ordeal. But then it kind of figured it out. They're like, you know what? We're winning now. So it's okay. But you can understand a competitor. But you're right. When you got a quarterback that can kind of thread the needle, you know, when they can do those types of things consistently, it just means so much more to a team because you're going to continue drives. You're going to give your playmakers those opportunities to take those little ones on an accurate throw and let him use his athletic ability, just like you said with Rob Gronkowski. I mean, that guy catches how many passes, whether they're outs. I know he catches a lot of deep balls and crossing routes and all that, but he's a guy that can take that short gain and turn it into something big because 9 times out of 10, Brady puts the ball where it needs to be.
It's exactly actually also leads and lends itself to yards after the catch, which is key. Steve in Spokane, welcome to CBD.
On.
How you doing?
Not too bad. I got 2 points I'd like to make here.
Sure.
The first one, Ohio State. Cardale Jones, his arm is ridiculous, isn't it?
Very strong.
His wind-up and release is so fast, and he gets so much velocity off of it.
So what do you think about, but that goes back to what I've seen with the guy, and Matt, I'd be interested because you follow the guys a lot. I think his passing game, the short passing game, is something that probably needs a little bit of work. He's one of those guys that, man, that he can launch the ball, but when it comes to these intermediate passing routes, you know, it kind of makes you scratch your head a little
bit. It definitely does, and I think, you know, his throwing motion and his ability to get that velocity in the ball, we have to understand, he's 6'5", 250. You know, you're not talking about, you know, JT Barrett at 6'1", 220, or, you know, even Braxton at 6', you know, 215. He's 6'5", 250, so there's some gusto behind, you know, that ball when he goes to throw it. But you're right, and I think his touch on those underneath throws or those timing routes will come. He started, you know, 2 football games. They happen to be
right.
The big.
I mean, and that's insane.
Games in the last decade of Ohio State football. You know, and he was the third stringer for a reason. You know, and I hate to say it, and I hate to reference him. He's the starter of our football team now, but he didn't. And I think it was more the mental side of his game was lacking, which is why they went with JT Barrett, you know, after the Braxton Miller injury anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about it. And JT Barrett looked pretty darn good when he was playing.
Draft all 3 quarterbacks here because, you know, if 1 doesn't work out, 2 works out. And if 2 doesn't work out, then 3 works out. I mean,
that's
unbelievable.
That's what you got to do. You got to get as many assets as possible out there at that quarterback position. Let me ask you this. The kid, he just texted me. He's mad at you. He said you big-timed him after he texted you after the Buckeyes won.
He never texted me.
That's what he said.
He never texted me.
He's got to really toughen up a little bit, man. I know
the kid
about him. The kid, you're not that tough, kid.
The kid's got to toughen up a little bit. Uh-oh. Maybe we'll have words on Friday.
Kid, text me right now, bro.
Text me right now. All right, let's get one last call before we take a break. We'll start to look at these wild card playoff games. We've got Larry in Barberton on the line. What's up, Larry?
Hey, just a quick question now. The Browns' strength right now is Thomas, Mack, and a great draft pick in Botonio.
Yep.
Do you see any scenario where our first-round picks have pretty much been terrible? We package something down to Atlanta and get a Matt Ryan up here. Do you see any possibility in that happening? Because there seems to be some down in Atlanta. I don't think they're real happy with him and with the changes going on. So I'll hang up and listen. That'd be, a great move with a line. You put Matt Ryan behind a good line. I think he turns into a franchise quarterback.
I think Atlanta would consider him a franchise quarterback. Listen, I don't see he's going anywhere.
With all the struggles that we're having right here, right now, and if anybody in Atlanta is listening to us, I mean, they don't even have to. They've got the franchise quarterback.
Got the quarterback part.
They're not getting rid of that guy regardless.
Haven't they paid him over $100 million as well? Yes, he's their guy.
I'd like to be him too.
I wouldn't mind that. Yeah, I don't think he is going to be here. All right, when we come back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, more phone calls, 216-578-0815. We'll take a look at the wild card weekend that was. We'll also share some Browns news, as some nice honors being bestowed upon some members of our staff as they are hot commodities around the National Football League. We'll be back with more right after this.